my God. When I, in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the storm, I hear the rolling thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Think about this. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it that cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. How many believe Christ is coming back?
Yeah.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great. changed my soul. Oh, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou. Can you imagine church kneeling before a thrice holy God and being able to worship at His feet? We're going to get to do that, but quite honestly, we can do that now, can't we? I realize, and preacher, we want to do our best to give you ample time. Thank you so much. Preacher, thank you for having us again tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing to meet with God's people, isn't it? Amen. I'm convinced of this. We can meet with God's people, but I know this is Jubilee. We need revival, don't we? Yes. We've preached right much in our home church about it, and what I'm going to preach to you tonight, we have preached to our church. But for the next few minutes, would you turn with me to Acts chapter number 2? While you turn to Acts chapter 2, I fully realize that we're in an independent Baptist meeting.
Hey. Amen.
Yes. You don't have to worry about us getting off on the charismatic movement. We know what we believe. Amen. But there is a principle we can learn. Yes. And something we need desperately in our day and age. We're looking at Acts chapter number 2, and I want you to look the first four verses. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Notice the next two words. "And suddenly." I like that, don't you? "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." We all understand the truth and what the doctrinal truth is about. We don't need to go over that, but look at verse number 4. "And they were all filled with" what? Or who? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We'll stop our reading right there. This, for the next few minutes, right before the man of God comes, I want to preach on this subject. In looking back at verse number 2, we see the first two words, "and suddenly." How many agree with me tonight? We need such a suddenly. I realize we won't have a Pentecost in that sense, but what I am referring to is the power of the Spirit of God came. And we'll see that it was transforming power. Yes. And we're in a day and age where God's church, whether it be our church back in South Boston or right here, ladies and gentlemen, there's many that sit on our pews that we know God, we know that we know Him, but there's a difference in knowing Him as Savior and being empowered by His Spirit. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're to see God's work done, and I believe we can, I don't think it's too late. I believe we can still see a touch of revival, don't you? I still believe that God can move. I still believe that God is in the soul-saving business. God uses people. God uses churches. And God is looking for a place where He can empower. God is looking for a place that He can move in the midst. And I would like to see again in 2016, I'd like to see a suddenly take place. Once again,
amen.
Wouldn't you?
Amen.
But I want you to listen. Here's the thought. We think about that and suddenly, as if that there was nothing leading up to this. I like the suddenly. Boy, the power of the Spirit of God came in it. And we see the power of the Spirit of God. Not only did He come, He indwelt them at Pentecost, but He empowered them.
Now I have to be honest. When I was saved by the grace of God many years ago, the Holy Spirit, the sweet Holy Spirit of God came and tabernacled in this body. I have all of the Holy Spirit right now. But He doesn't always have all of me. There is a vast difference in having the presence of the Spirit of God and having the power of the Spirit of God. And I don't know about you, I've told our church, please don't misunderstand me. Please don't take this wrong way, but I'm sick. I'm sick of seeing church as we've seen it go in our generation. What led up to Acts chapter number 2? What led up to this? And suddenly, well, the power of the Spirit of God came, and we'll see after that that God moved miraculously. Yes. Notice the first thing quickly. Church, whether it's my church, your church, and I know Dr. Sisk agrees with me, if we're going to see a suddenly the power of God come down and move in our midst, God's people have to get on the same page. Amen. We have to be on the same page. You say, preacher, where do you see that? Look at chapter number 1. Bible says in verse number 10, and while they look steadfastly towards heaven, you know the story? The Lord is ascending up back to His throne, the right hand of the Father which is in heaven. And He's leaving these disciples behind. But He's not going to leave them without His strength and His power and His presence. And while they look steadfastly towards heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, I like that, don't you? Which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day journey. Look at verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. Verse 14. These all continued with what? Say it out loud with me. One accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with the brethren. What do you see in this, preacher? If we're wanting to see a suddenly God move in our midst powerfully, miraculously, where we can't explain other than the fact that God has done it, the church has to get on the same page. And one thing you'll notice about these people, they were on the same page in their desire to worship. They were praying, we'll see that, but why do you think they were also gathering? They loved the Lord, didn't they? Well, it broke their heart when they saw Him ascend up to glory. And they loved Him. They had walked with Him. They had talked with Him. They had witnessed His mighty working power. They had seen the lame to walk, the blind to see. They had even witnessed the dead rise up. They had witnessed the power of God. Oh, Simon Peter even witnessed as Jesus, the disciples, as they are in the midst of the storm, Jesus walking on the water. And it was Simon Peter that even asked the Lord, bid me to come out of thee. And Simon Peter, under the power of God, was able to walk on the water. They witnessed all that, and they loved the Lord, and they wanted to worship together. Listen closely. I'm afraid our generation knows nothing about real worship. I don't think that, I have no doubt this is not the problem here. But Brother Donald, worship isn't how loud you can get things. Worship isn't how much you can get people rocking back and forth in their seats. Worship is not how to strike up the band and have the strobe lights and have a grand old time. No, that's entertainment. The Bible says that the Lord desires to be worshipped. He demands to be worshipped, and He certainly deserves to be worshipped. But the only way we're going to worship God is to worship Him how, church? In spirit and in truth. You can't worship God until you first have Him. Can I hear an amen? You can't worship a God you don't know. And you can't worship God apart from the truth. And there's only one place to find it. You're not going to find truth in Time Magazine. You're not going to find it on NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC. You're not going to find it on Fox News. You're going to find it in the Word of God. And when we take this book, we can worship God. And that's what they did.
Yes, sir.
There was a suddenly about to take place. But there were some things that led up to the suddenly church. They were one in the same vein. They worshiped together. But then they wanted to witness together. Now we're going to see they're going to get ready shortly thereafter. And they're going to go out and they're going to be powerful witnesses. But had not the Lord already told them before he ascended, he's already given them a directive, ye shall be witnesses unto me.
Amen.
Guess what I believe? They're gathered together in one accord, right? If they were in one accord, not only were they together in the matter of worship, they were together in the matter of wanting to be a witness.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, the Lord is seeking to work. He's seeking to work in this church right here on Highway 58. You've got to be determined that you're going to be in one accord on worshiping the Lord, but then you've got to determine you want to be a witness for him.
Yes, sir.
You say, preacher, not everybody's going to listen to me. They didn't listen to the Lord, did they?
No, that's right.
You listen to this preacher, and I'm still learning this. I've got so much to learn, but I have learned this. It's not my job to save anybody.
That's right.
It's my job to be obedient on the power of the Spirit of God to witness for him.
Amen.
And I know this. You won't win the world being a witness, but I know this. If you don't witness, you won't win anybody.
That's right.
If you're waiting to get 100% response from a witness to start witnessing, you're going to wait a long time.
Amen.
I want you to just understand, it is your duty, it is my duty from pastor all the way down to simply be obedient and have a desire to speak for him.
Amen.
There was a suddenly take place, but it didn't just happen.
Amen.
Let me give you this quickly. Not only do we see they were on the same page, they were one accord, but they were serious in their prayer, weren't they? Look at your Bible, verse number 14. These all continued with one accord in what? In prayer. They were serious about it. Not only was the men having prayer meeting, but the ladies joined in. They were one accord. They were not there just trying to catch up on the latest news of the day. I can promise you, ladies and gentlemen, they did not come there to see what kind of gossip they could find out. They did not try to find. They did not come together to complain about all their problems in life. They came together to worship. They came together longing to witness. And they came together before a holy God, crying out to him, supplicating, petitioning the throne and asking God for his power and for his mercy and for his grace.
Amen.
Do we want a suddenly? Preacher, do I want a suddenly? We got to get serious about this thing, prayer. Whether it's our church or any other church.
Yes, sir.
I wonder how serious we are about it. I wonder how fervent we are. I wonder how desperate we are. Ask me, how desperate am I to see a moving of God? And when you're desperate, you'll cry, won't you? When you're desperate, you'll come to the throne. When you're desperate, you'll storm heaven. They did. Let me give you this quickly. Not only do we see that they were on the same page, they were serious in their prayer, but they were sure in their obedience. Read this quickly with me. In verse number 15, I believe it is. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and he obtained part of this ministry. I still haven't got all that figured out, have you?
Yeah.
Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto them, all dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue, Alkadama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. Let his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in, out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So they remembered the command, am I right? They remembered what God's perfect will was. The Bible says, and they did what? And they prayed. And said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, Show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Couple of things in these verses. The first thing I want to talk to you about quickly about their obedience. They stayed where God wanted them to stay. I told our church, they had no idea how many days it was going to be after when the Lord gave them that command, when the Lord ascended up to glory. Those disciples did not know how long they had to wait. All they know was that Jesus told them, don't you leave this place until power comes from on high. And they did not know, and I can imagine somebody said, well, should we go out for a little while? Can we go to the next town? And I can imagine those saying, no, the Lord told us to stay right here. Right. It wasn't their job to try to figure it out, to try to understand when this promise was going to take place. They were just to obey God and stay put. A lot of times we don't get the blessings of God and we don't get us suddenly because we don't stay put where God told us to be in our lives. But watch this. I read all these verses just now with this thought in mind. Judas fell by transgression, right? But those disciples remembered that there must be one to take his place. There was two men brought before the people. Just as Barsabbas and one Matthias. And as I told our church, I would dare say that both of those men were impeccable in their character. I would dare say that both of those men would have been fantastic choices. Both of those men, they were in the meeting. Both of those men loved God. Wouldn't you agree? But watch what they did. Now, this is what we do in our Baptist churches. We have opinions, don't we? Now, watch it, Brother Donald. Can I come here for just a minute? Brother Donald, he's your leader, isn't he? Yeah. Certainly, you ought to love him and follow him as he follows the Lord.
Amen.
All right? Take this instance. There's a man. God said, this has to be done. And they wouldn't obey God. But I can imagine one of the group said, well, you know what? I believe... You know, we like Barsabbas. We like him better. We believe that he would be a better candidate to fill that role than Matthias would. See, everybody's got opinions. But watch what they did. They prayed and left the choice to the Lord.
Amen.
Do we want to suddenly? Let's get beyond what we want. Some of your opinions, they're good opinions. How many believe that for us to get all of God's power that He wants to give us, we need to get beyond what we think is best? And we can get beyond all of our rationale, why we do this and why we do that, and let's just say, Lord, we're chunking that all. We want whatever it is that you want. The Bible says that the lot fell upon Matthias. And I don't find anywhere in our text, I don't find one thing where there was a split, a splinter, a fight, bickering about it, bad spirits about it. They all joined in and said, praise God. This is who God wanted. Praise God, let's serve Him. Do we want us suddenly? We need to be sure in obedience.
Amen. That's good.
Let me give you this and I'll be done in just a minute. Not only must we be sure in obedience, we need to be steadfast in faith.
Amen.
Think about this. They were in that upper room, am I right? They stayed in Jerusalem like the Lord told them. But don't you think, they didn't know when. They didn't know how it was going to happen. They just knew what Jesus said.
Amen.
And that was enough for them to believe Him. They stayed in that upper room, Brother Donald. And they weren't twiddling their thumbs while they were busy. They were worshiping. They were praying. They were fellowshipping. They were on the same page.
Yes, sir.
All along, believing God was going to do it.
Yes.
Listen to me. We have a Bible, and I know this Bible's true, don't you?
Amen.
But we sure don't live like it sometimes, do we?
You're right, Richard. Yes, sir.
As a pastor, there's times I know what God said. And intellectually, I know it's true. But sometimes my faith sure ain't where it ought to be.
You're right. Absolutely right.
They were in that room anticipating. I believe with all my heart, they were looking. They were longing. They were believing that God was going to do exactly what God said He would do. I wonder what would happen on this Monday night as a preacher gets ready to come in just a short bit. I wonder what would happen if we really got to believe in God again. If we really got to believe in that God could, God can, and God will.
Amen.
And hold on to it. May God help us to have a steadfast faith in what God said. Listen, a lot of opinions again. A lot of opinions even come from pulpits. But one thing about it is, you can take this book and we can take it to the bank.
Yes, sir.
I see in chapter number 2 as we close. They were steadfast in their faith. They were sure in their obedience. They were there in one accord. They were on the same page. They didn't know the when, didn't know the how, but as they were meeting there in that upper room, bam, suddenly the power and the presence of the Spirit of God came in their midst.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
The instance when it happened was sudden, but that suddenly would have never happened had there not been some preparation on the part of those people. We're wanting God to do amazing things, but we're not willing to do it His way.
Yes, sir. You're right.
We're wanting a great house built, but we're not willing to count the cost. I wonder, I don't know, I see about the men and the women, but it leads me to kind of believe that there was probably even some children there. What do you think?
Amen. Yes, sir.
In that upper room, not having any idea how long they was going to have to wait. But they were going to be obedient. They loved their Lord. And watch this. They knew souls were at stake. They knew. The Lord had told them, you're going to receive power. After this you shall be my witnesses. They realized that they could not go out and do God's work their way.
Amen.
They knew that the souls of men were at stake. And ladies and gentlemen, they are at stake right now. And we have did our best in our churches to try to program them in, to try to entertain them in, and try to orchestrate a move of God. And if we do it by the world's means, we'll have the world's results.
That's right.
But if we'll start following what they did, I believe we can have a suddenly again.
Amen.
It may not be the magnitude of what we see here, 3,000 saved, then 5,000, but I tell you what, I believe God can still move.
Amen.
It's not up, folks, it's not up to God. He's already said what He wants to do. So if it's not up to God, I wonder who does that leave? It's up to us. Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, I sure hope that, Lord, this simple thought has been a challenge to our hearts. Lord, as Pastor Sis comes just shortly, Lord, empower him. God, give him the message that we need. Lord, I ask You to just have Your will and Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.